You are listening to Local Waves in Conversation on WGXC 90.7 FM and wavefarm.org. I am your host, Mike Amari of Chosen Family Presents. And every week on Local Waves, we play new releases by local artists in the Hudson Valley, Capital Region, and Western Massachusetts. And once a month, we do a live taping at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill, where I have a short conversation with local musicians, record labels, event curators, to get a better idea of how the music scene comes to be here in the Hudson Valley. This week, my guest is Adriana Tempassis of the Hudson Valley Jazz Fusion Quartet Pocket Merchant. This conversation was recorded September 25th. You can join us on the last Thursday of each month at Avalon Lounge for our Breaking the Algorithm in Real Life conversations, which Local Waves is part of. You can find all the info at wavefarm.org or on their social media. Let's jump right into my conversation with Adriana. And afterwards, you will hear an excerpt from the Pocket Merchant track, But I Believe in Peace, from their 2024 record, Doom Dance. Adriana Tempassis. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Tempassis.
That was pretty good. That was pretty good.
All right. Sick. Who is a Hudson Valley-based jazz fusion musician, primarily with her band Pocket Merchant, but we're going to talk about various other things that you do as well. Pocket Merchant will be playing as part of O Positive Festival this year, which is in Kingston, October 10th through 12th. They'll be playing on the Somewhere stage, which is right across from the Old Dutch Church uptown, on Saturday the 11th at 6:30. If you would like to hang out at one of these live tapings, we do them every last Thursday of the month upstairs at Avalon Lounge in Catskill as part of the Breaking the Algorithm IRL gathering. And I want to thank our DJ tonight, Ryan S. I'm not even going to try that one. He'll be spinning after the conversation as well. We just have a little short little conversation. So thank you guys for being here. And thank you, Adriana, for being here.
Thank you so much. I mean, really, just getting that message from you like, hey, want to check this out? Absolutely. So thank you to Wave Farm and, of course, Avalon Lounge for having this event. And Mike, thank you. Thank you for reaching out. Just keeping it local.
I'm a big fan. Adriana is one of the people who, no matter what outfit you're in, whatever ensemble, whatever, you just like shred flute, which is such a unusual thing to see and hear. So I guess the first thing I wanted to talk about is the flute. Like, when did you start playing? How did you get into it? Like, where did that all come from?
You're making me smile, shredding flute. I love that. I love all the little names I've been given, flute queen, shredding, shredder. You know, it's just I love that. Just kind of like idea of this, like, I don't know, flute lady. I love the flute. So a little nerdy thing about me is that I love the Legend of Zelda series. And when I was a wee little'un, I loved the ocarina and I loved Ocarina of Time. And I was, you know, in fourth grade deciding what instrument to play. And I said, I need the one that sounds like this. And I'm thinking of the ocarina and I'm in this, you know, kind of like Scottish Highlands idea, you know, just so that's where I was like, I need to play the flute.
Was it something about the timbre of the sound that you were attracted to? Or was it the way it fit in with everything else? Like, what was it?
That is so great. I actually hadn't considered if it was the timbre, if it was like the narrative, the aesthetic behind it. Actually, I'm going to say probably the aesthetic, because in my heart, I'm actually like a bass person. Uh-huh. So I've since starting the flute, I've gone to like lower and lower instruments. So then I started playing sax, and I didn't just start on alto sax. I went immediately to barry sax. I just like freaking loved it. And then I was like, I need to play the bassoon, but my school didn't have a bassoon. So then I played oboe for a short time, and then that was horrible. And so then I went to bass clarinet, and then I found an even lower flute, the alto flute. And then I just finally landed on the bass flute, which is like my new love. I just can get all teary eyed thinking about the bass flute.
I want to get into the bass flute thing. but just to back, so this is one of these situations where your middle school basically says, what instrument do you want? And you have like a split second or a day to think about it?
You have a form with perhaps a day or two to think about it. And when I started school, I was in Kingston. So I was at good old Bailey Middle School, and I had this like sheet in my hand, and I was so excited, like, Mom, Dad, I need to do this. I don't know what it is yet. On my paper, I actually put French horn at one point, because my dad played French horn for like a very brief time, and I wanted to be like him. But flute was like my main choice, because that was the closest I can think it might sound to the Zelda instrument.
It's just interesting because, like, you know, you would never have thought like the path you were going to go down with that at that time. That's why it's like so important to have those moments and to have those, like, what do you want to play? Try this. You don't like that? Try that. You know, find. But it sounds like you basically settled on the flute. And when you first started playing, were you like immediately into it, or was it a real process to get there?
I was into it, but I was horrible. The thing about learning the flute is this one of those instruments, especially, that's so hard to get a sound out of immediately. I like to describe it to my students as like, if you've ever taken a glass bottle and blown across it, it's really similar to that. Just, you know, the little extra things you got to do with your mouth. But I really sucked. Actually, my first teacher was kind of concerned about me, because it took me probably like 3 to 6 months to get a sound out of it where I could even start learning the notes. So I was just kind of falling behind, feeling really discouraged. I would sometimes play with the buttons just to get a sound out of the buttons, because I was so like desperate to want to play it, but I just didn't have that kick in my sound yet.
I love hearing this, because if you've seen Adriana play, she is literally shredding the flute harder than anyone I've ever seen. And is getting tons of sound out of those holes, out of those flute holes. So the other thing that I'm really interested about is this band Pocket Merchant, your main original music project, is like this proggy, fusion, jazzy, free jazzy band. When did you get attracted to that type of music?
Yeah, so growing up, again, I would say I'm just so super inspired by my dad and the music that he just was showing me growing up. So, you know, my dad never had any formal music education. You know, he only played, again, French horn for a little bit in school, but just such a audio person. And just countless times I can imagine, like, or remember him showing me something, like, especially like Jimi Hendrix or these, like, I even remember when he first showed me Bitches Brew, and I was like, this is insane. And we would just sit and listen and talk about the instruments, and it was just really incredible to me, because this is someone who just never had a formal music education, or, you know, even played with other people, but he's just like such a music guy. So I think a lot of my sound and like ability to just kind of like mess with the flute came from what I was hearing listening with him.
So it was that sort of late 60s, early 70s moment.
Yeah.
Transitional moment of like Bitches Brew and that kind of stuff.
I think so. I think there's something there.
To everything else that came after that.
And also, like, I haven't always been the best about like just being able to name drop things so much. So, like, and I think this is something I would like to work on, but just like some of the like historical lineage of where these musicians are coming from that I'm influenced by. I feel like there are like parts in my like historical education of these musicians and artists has like is a little patchy. So it's something that I've been working on, and in working with my band and all the new musicians I get to play with, learning about like albums and what it's like to listen through an album is kind of a newer thing for me. I feel like before it might have just been like, oh, that's that song, or like this is, oh, I think that's that artist. But so I feel like in some ways music has been this thing that's kind of just like felt like it was like catalyzed by a variety of different influences.
Well, that's interesting to hear. I mean, I wouldn't overthink that, because to me there's like a more of a pureness to someone who is not constantly referencing and cataloging the history of whatever, you know, type of music they want to make. You know, it sounds like it comes from a place where you're genuinely like excited to make something that you want to hear.
Totally.
And so how that fits in with other stuff is kind of out of your control and right, not really the priority for you, you know?
Yeah. I think there's something to that. Now yeah. I'm like, reflecting on that, like, oh, maybe there's something.
I don't know. I mean, I was just curious because like, and also there's like this metal, this sort of heavy metal edge to Pocket Merchant. You totally guys do like War Pigs and stuff like that. How much of an influence is that sound on the way that you play or think about music?
I think Pocket Merchant is so near and dear to my heart because it really is this kind of original outlet to do all the things that I'm super influenced by. So I think in some ways our music has been kind of seen as this like dark groove, kind of eclectic, bassy, rhythmic driven thing that also has these elements of chamber jazz and through composition. I mean, I think all of us being Bard alum and getting to study with the same teachers was just so pivotal to our sound and the things that we're interested in. And I think also the fact that, I mean, we're the band that really came with, we bring sheet music to our first rehearsals and having these conversations about, if you're a composer in the band, really knowing who you're writing for. Mm-hmm. And so I think each of us I'm just so excited by what each of us does as a composer writing for the band. And then also in that, seeing as how the band has been growing, and I just feel like we're so just like heartlocked with one another, we don't bring sheet music anymore, which is a strange, curious thing because the music still feels so written. So it kind of gets into this territory of, you know, the juxtaposition between improv and maybe composition.
And maybe you're becoming less academic.
Maybe. Maybe.
Like you this band started while you all were in college at Bard.
It started
essentially
during the pandemic.
Okay.
We're like, we need this. We need, you know, we're all kind of close in the Hudson Valley, so it felt like we really needed this thing to get back into playing with one another. Yeah. How can we do it safely? And so it started by, let's at least start writing for each other.
Mm-hmm. So are you all composers in the group, or like how do you guys approach that?
We are all composers. Yeah. Yeah. I'd say, so in our album, the music is composed by 3 out of the 4 of us, but the fourth, Marco Spodek, our lovely, beloved drummer. Marco, if you're listening, you are a composer. I believe in you. But no, he's contributed so much to the music as well. But in our recent releases, it's all been composed by Justin Geyer, Alden Slack, and then myself.
Cool. Yeah, so I guess I want to know, like, you grew up in the area a bit, or...
I am Hudson Valley born and raised.
And you went to Bard.
And I went to Bard.
And I just, I'm curious about, and it sounds like that moment where you were finishing Bard and wanting to sort of transition into the music scene here, the pandemic was happening. So what was all of that like in finding your way into this sort of disparate music scene that we have up here?
Yeah, I mean, I think something that I really appreciate about Bard, and I joke about this a bit to myself and bandmates, is that I got, from my degree, a band and a boyfriend, which is just a little bit to me. My partner, who's also in the band, Justin Geyer, so near and dear to me and a huge collaborator with this project and so many other projects. And our relationship, I think, just like so blossomed out coming out of the pandemic and being able to do this original project together. Alden and Marco, who are also a part of the band, you know, they were roommates with Justin. So it just kind of was like this like natural pod that we could create with one another. And that was kind of like this, I think, you know, the gears were really turning. People's, you know, locals would hear us. You know, I think we started at like the Kingston Farmers Market. It was the first ever gig we played. And, you know, when they heard us, people seemed interested. You know, at that time we were playing like original arrangements of some jazz standards and messing around with things, messing around with sounds. And I think that just like kind of started clicking. And I got to meet new people, and people would come up to you after a show. And some of the other barred relationships that I've had with teachers, I am so thankful for the teachers at Bard that I had. I think they are so good, especially I'm thinking of my mentor, Erica Lindsay, who has just brought so many opportunities my way. And I just feel like I've been able to take those opportunities and go somewhere with them.
Yeah, that's awesome. And speaking of like you said your first gig was at the Kingston
yes.
Farmers Market.
Yes.
That's adorable.
Cute, right?
And you guys, as I mentioned, are playing a Positive Festival this year in October, mm-hmm. which is in Kingston, which is a very interesting festival because you basically perform in exchange for healthcare and medical services and wellness services,
right.
So things like massage and mm-hmm. Acupuncture, et cetera. Is there anything that drew you to that festival or anything that you're looking forward to regarding that unique exchange? I don't know. I'm just curious to hear about that.
Yeah, I think there are a couple of parts to that for me. So one is that I grew up in Kingston, and I think it's kind of been this festival that's always I've heard of, but never really knew what it was or how do you play in it. I feel like it just was like this mystical thing. And so then maybe a few years ago, Pocket Merchant got interested. We were recommended to apply for it. And then finally this year, I believe the theme is power. And I think that just like really sparked something for us. I think our sound and the kind of message that we like to communicate or encourage like audience members to feel is this sense of power. Like how can you take the instrumentation that we have, which is a quartet, and just bring so much like strength and resiliency into what we're playing? And I think also for me as a flute player, you know, there's like these tropes about, oh, she's the girl, the flute player. And I just like couldn't feel further from that. I love bringing just this sort of aggression into my playing, and I think Pocket Merchant does that as well. So in physically thinking about power, I think that the instrumentation we have brings that, but I think also kind of these feelings we have for each other and the music that we're playing and what we represent has power in it as well. So I think we were just super attracted by that theme, especially this year, you know, O Positive.
That's awesome. Yeah, and as someone who's put on a lot of concerts in the area, I think you guys are very unique in this sort of musical landscape. So I'm psyched that you guys are playing that festival. I hope people can catch you there. So yeah, I just want to say thanks again. This has been Adriana Tampassis for Local Waves in Conversation. Her band Pocket Merchant will be playing O Positive Festival on Saturday, October 11th at 6:30. That's at the Somewhere stage. And you also play with Bobby Previtt at Avalon, which is first Sunday of every month, the Upstate Composers Orchestra, which is a really cool mm-hmm. ensemble project with lots of different
totally.
Composers and
so
players. Seems like it's very different every month as well.
It's very different. It is so much fun. I couldn't recommend it enough. For anyone who's
yeah.
been or plans to go, I think this next show is just going to be so much fun. Highly recommend.
So I would just say if anyone is listening out there who's into jazz, prog, free jazz, etc., find Adriana's music and Pocket Merchant's music as well. And just, you know, I think that you're always popping up and playing with cool groups in the area and doing something different. So
thankful.
So yeah, thanks for coming on. This has been Local Waves in Conversation on WGXC 90.7 FM, Radio for Open Ears. I'm Michael Mari of Chosen Family. Thanks for listening.
Thank you so much. Thank you.